When I read this text, my first impression was that the Lord is convincing people to stick by Him or hold on to Him. So I asked myself, does the Lord really wants me to preach on this theme? So I give it a day or two if my impression would change. I read it again, and my impression is that the Lord is pleading with His people to stick by Him or hold on to Him, our Good Shepherd. So I struggled with myself. Does the Lord plead for worshipers or followers? Our God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's already perfect and complete by Himself. Luke chapter 19, verse 40, if we remember during the triumphal entry, when the Pharisees saw that the people were shouting and praising God, so the Pharisees told Jesus, "Tell your people to stop shouting." Jesus replied, "If they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." Imagine that. Now let me ask you, when it was read, how does it feel hearing it? Was the Lord pleading for us to hold on to Him? Is that how you hear it? Or is He convincing us, you know, to stay with Him? But that's the beauty of the Scripture. We may or may not have the same impression of the Scripture. But the Scripture has been with us for centuries, and people have read that many times, and it may or may not be the same message that the Lord is speaking to us. And that's how the Lord is speaking to me right now. He's pleading for us to hold on to Him. Now let me throw this out not just in our church, but in our generation. Are we in that time that we need hard convincing, real convincing to the existence of God? Do we need convincing that we still need God in our lives? We are already in the modern age, and what we are believing and referencing in our lives is 2,000 years ago. Now, let us dive into the Scriptures. There are three things that I recognize here. Number one is, I am is the Good Shepherd. Number two is hard hand versus good shepherd. Number three is all sheep. Number one, I am is the good shepherd. How many times did Jesus say, I am in the New Testament? So I search it and it says seven times. And it's all in Gospel of John. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd, which is our text today. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. And where can we refer this to the Old Testament? There are several. And the most notable occurrence is in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14. When Moses asked God how He will answer if the people will ask, who sent you? And God said, I am who I am. Which can be translated to, I will be who I will be. When God gives a name for His people to call Him, it also carries with it dominion over all things, the source of all power, and His eternal nature. I am is self-sufficient. I am is self-sustaining God, who was, who is, and who will be. My reaction to this is, O my Lord God Almighty, I am is all so powerful. Amen? So what am I driving at? How can an infinitely powerful Almighty God plead for us? He is already self-sufficient, as I've said, and self-sustaining. We are too small to affect an Almighty God. There is no other reason that I could find other than that God in His infinite nature is also infinitely loving and infinitely merciful, that it pains Him to see His people fall into destruction. While the Lord is loving, the Lord is merciful, but we also must remember that God is also holy and just. God knows where we are leading. That is why our God, the Father, sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to lay down His life for us. And in our text, He repeated that 5 times. I lay down my life for my sheep. And that shows emphasis. That felt to me is the pleading. That's how the word speak to me. It pleaded. God pleaded for us. This also gave me the impression to the saving work of God through the Israelites. When they were enslaved, what did God do? God liberated them. When they were pursued, when they were going out, God protected them. God shielded them with pillars of fire. When they were hungry, God fed them with manna. When they were poisoned, God healed them. Now that we are enslaved to sin, again, God in action. God provided a perfect sacrificial lamb and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. He's always quick to show His love, to free us, to save us. That's why my question is, what else can we ask from the Lord? God already did everything for us. Amen? Probably, I am making the wrong question. Probably the right question here is, how come we still turn our backs to our good shepherd? Number 2, hard hands versus good shepherd. In our text, there is a deliberate separation between separation or comparison between hired hand and a good shepherd. The context of this is that there is a conflict between Jesus and the Pharisees. They were trying to find fault in Jesus in order to disprove Him and try to kill Him, right? So in John chapter 10 verse 12, it says, "The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then a wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Commentaries from Bible Ref says that hired hand is only interested in the sheep as long as he benefits. When serving the sheep means personal risk, he abandons them. This describes those who purposefully take advantage of those using spiritual deception. This may be directed to the Pharisees based on the context. But how can this give life to us? That's why trying to understand this scripture literally is kind of discouraging to me. The fact that I'm also hired, right? So how can this be a life-giving message? If this can be discouraging, nobody will be encouraged to be in the ministry. Nobody wants to serve if this can be discouraging, right? Number one, no one will be able to lay down their life for the sheep like Jesus did. In the Philippines, like the Good Friday time, there are so many who would realistically nail themselves to the cross. Real nails and real blood on the cross. Probably color or painting here. And not real death, for sure. Nobody would die for reenactment of the death of Christ or the sacrifice of Christ. But the point there is that there is only one sacrifice that is acceptable, justifying for our sin, and that is done by the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? We are not perfect sacrifice. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, as I've said, many of us are paid in goods or in cash. So what are we left with? It is obvious that I don't want to be a hired hand, right? Nobody wants to be a hired hand. We cannot also be the good shepherd because Jesus is the good shepherd. So we are left with this. Can we be a good emissary of the good shepherd? Emissary can be a messenger or a representative of the good shepherd. Can we be that one? I believe so. John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17. This is a good one. After Peter denied Jesus three times, can you imagine how he felt? Discouraged, shamed for denying Jesus? Because he realized it after the third time. He realized it, that he ultimately denied Jesus. But what did Jesus do to him? Jesus redeemed him by sending him to take care of his sheep. Can all of us reflect on us like ourselves? We all have failures and weaknesses. But still, God is able to use us for His purpose. But not after he asked Peter's love 3 times. Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me more than this?" This could imply more than the cares of the world, wealth, power, influence. Because usually when we are overpowered by that, the true love, true service is, engulfed with the cares of the world. Jesus received the yes. And so he said, where is it? "Feed my sheep." Then again, Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" Could imply the person in Jesus, the Christ. Again, Peter affirmed, "Feed my lambs." The third time, Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" Could also imply, "Do you love those whom I love and care for those whom I care?" Amen? And Peter affirmed, "I love you, Lord. Then feed my sheep," or "take care of my sheep." This shows that we can be a good emissary of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. And that only if we truly love Him, we can truly love and care for His sheep. Without that genuine love, we cannot serve Him faithfully. You can, as it has been said, you can fool the people. You can even fool yourself. I'm talking to myself. But you cannot fool the one who can seize the heart. Amen? And that is the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are true in serving Him, it's only Jesus who can seize that. And number three, the sheep. Who are the sheep? There are two groups of sheep, as what Jesus said. The one in the pen and the one that is outside of the pen. Both Jesus desired to gather those groups. Two groups with one common characteristic that was mentioned. Both recognizes the voice of the Good Shepherd. They listen and follow the voice of the Good Shepherd. Listening and following declares our willingness to be ruled by the Good Shepherd, to be guided by the Good Shepherd, not the other way around. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, "If we are in Christ, the old is gone and the new has come." Because of our willingness, we allow God to transform us for the better, aligned to His will, aligned to His word, meaning we are not trying to manipulate God's will, God's teaching, to be aligned to our will or our lifestyle. No, we allow God to transform us for the better and us aligned to His will and aligned to His word. Now, in terms of the group, For us, the one mentioned in the pen probably is the church. Do you agree? We don't want to be that arrogant, right? But probably we are the one mentioned here. But be warned. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 says, Not everyone who says unto me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the person who keeps doing the will of the Father in heaven. While the Lord Jesus is loving and merciful, we must remember that He is also holy and just, and we cannot separate those from each other. Concerning the sheep from outside the pen, are we sent to classify them or justify them? No, we're not. We are sent to share the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make Him known and let them know that He loves them too. As we have said before, judging and justifying is the sole duty and responsibility of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are just here to share the good news of Christ. Lastly, I want to share that I made this message out of great concern. I know that I am usually the one sharing contemporary music through our youth group. But I've learned that there are some artists who made beautiful worship songs. In one breath, they worship the Lord, then the next breath, they deny the Lord. And for me, it's concerning. And, in addition, or it's tragic and it's concerning. In addition to this is the fact that study shows that church membership is dwindling. Then our whole church, for example, has experienced splits for the past 5 years. And it's heartbreaking. And I also do not know how we look from the outside, looking at people in the inside, And people watching us is so critical. Oh, they are already in the church and they even don't agree with each other. They fight among each other. So is it in our generation that we usually ask for proof of the existence of God, or it has been happening since the beginning? So if you have friends, loved ones who are struggling in the faith, please send them the message that Jesus Christ is real through the witness of our forefathers and through our personal witness. Amen. And He loved us. He loved them. And showed His love by laying down His life for us. Now, if the reason for their struggle is us, church staff, fellow church workers, even fellow believers, all I can say is, forgive us for our shortcomings. Like everyone else, we are growing, we are learning, and we are also battling our own personal battles. But despite that, whether we are the reason or not, it does not change the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has laid down His life for us, for you, and for me. To end, the Good Shepherd is calling. Amen. Hopefully we can all respond, yes, Lord, I am here. To God be the glory. Amen.